no dejaremos que cierren la linda puerta que siempre ha estado abierta a la vida.
You're listening to Latin Radical with Warwick Fry.
Latin Radical, and on the phone with us from Bali, José Teixeira. I understand the UNPOL and the international police, they have made a comment somewhere. I think it was Interpol. Last time you spoke to us, you were talking about the organised crime, and it seems to have been taken up too by Interpol, with representatives of Interpol saying that organised crime is perhaps one of the biggest threats to the stability of Timor-Leste.
Yes, UN and multinational agencies working on crime prevention around the world have indeed identified that organised crime is a challenge in Timor-Leste. I think it continues to be a challenge. I think it's a growing challenge because organised crime, as we all know, doesn't just deal with, you know, traditional criminal pursuits such as extortion, rackets, or money laundering, or any of those things that are there, but also they become related to economic crime. And I think that one of the biggest concerns for us right now is that we're a petrol-driven economy, what they call a petrodollar economy, and a lot of money flowing through Timor, and a national population and national institutions and a national private sector that is incapable of absorbing that, of providing services to government, of competing for contracts. So that gap is being filled by foreign agents. And those foreign agents, I think, also come with baggage. Not all of them, but and by and large, they're okay. But it does attract those that are used to doing business in a more robust environment, if I call it that, in a more speculative environment. And they will use all sorts of non-ethical and illegal measures in which to achieve their ends. And that type of organised crime is what concerns us. And I must confess to being concerned with what has been noted to be a presence of organised crime, specifically from some of the Asian countries that neighbour us. And I won't venture into naming any, just in case I become branded a racist or something.
Yeah, people are very sensitive. And this week in Parliament, Jose?
This week we saw on the 9th, we saw the an annual event, which is the start of the new legislative session for the year. We're back for a year, and the legislative session opening also involves the government coming, the judiciary coming, the president coming, and all of us expressing our views on what the last legislative session was like. And on behalf of Fretland, Aniceto Gutierrez expressed what we felt were the shortcomings of this parliament during the last session. He wasn't the only one, I might add. We were the only ones that were capable of getting English media releases out and circulating it, but certainly the National Unity Party, which is led by Fernando Borges, and the PSD, the Social Democratic Party, they were also equally as strident as we were. And I venture to say that UNDATIM, the veteran party, also were strident in their criticism. And the main criticism is that, we don't have just the speaker, we have, you know, the speaker or his equivalent, which is the president. Then we have two deputy presidents of the parliament, and we have the secretaries, and they comprise sort of like an executive of the parliament. They then consult with the parties in the parliament on the running of the parliament in the most democratic way possible. The main criticism is that during the budget debates, we were restricted. The opposition was restricted in being able to exercise its voice. Debate was cut short. The guillotine was used. Many of the demands that we made before the budget to really undertake the work that the Public Accounts Committee normally undertakes, that is to be able to ask questions of the government as to the execution of the previous budget, We weren't able to do that. After having made extensive requests and very detailed requests, specific requests of the government, they did not allow that to take place before rushing in an urgent debate on a budget that was a very, very big budget. Mm. Now, when the president of the parliament, the speaker, as you would call it in your in the system in Australia, when he was sworn in, he made a statement in a very forceful manner, which is that this parliament will never become the mouthpiece of the government because we have a separate executive and legislature. Well, one of the criticisms we made is that that promise lasted not one moment beyond the promise being made, because that parliament has been nothing but a mouthpiece of the government. And the ability of the parliament to be an independent scrutinizer, independent monitor, independent evaluator, and a check and balance to the executive has effectively not occurred because the president, the vice presidents of the parliament have considered that to be done either during debate or by in fact protecting the government from coming before the parliament to face difficult questions. Now, that was the crux of the criticism that we made. And we feel that if the parliament can't exercise that role, then there is no democracy in Timor-Leste, because we are the people's representatives. And if we can't exercise those functions, then we don't have democracy in Timor-Leste. So we made that criticism in order to wake them up, in order to say, let's make the next session much more in the spirit of a people's assembly, representative of the people, and let's take our constitution seriously with the division and the separation between the executive and the legislature. Interact.
And finally, Jose, the investigation into the police, and I believe some of the top officers have been put under arrest or suspended, and there's talk that there are some parallels or similarities with the situation in 2006. There was a problem between various factions within the army, and it seems that something similar has been threatened with the police. Can you clarify that for us a little?
What is being done, by the way, we have to support the government in doing, the de facto government in doing, because you have to nip these things in the bud. Where there is suggestion of misconduct, where there is suggestion of fraud, where there is suggestion of abuse of power and authority, where there is suggestion of disciplinary breaches, then it needs to be acted on. So we support them for that. In terms of drawing parallels, well, you know, I think the big distinction that should be drawn is that unlike the 2006 situation, Fretlin, as a major opposition force, will not be attempting to use the discontented police officers in the same way as opposition parties use the discontented petitioners to bring down the government. We will never do that. We will never do that because our feeling for the future of our nation is one that I think you can never compromise for the sake of short-term political gain. So that's one major plus. Now, that's not to say that there aren't going to be people that are hell-bent on causing disruption, and that will go all out. Now, I think a lot of the rumours that are circulating around Billy now, trying to exploit the strength of this, the Fretlin March for Peace, Democracy and Justice, wrongfully doing it, and I say exploiting it in the worst sense of the word, and quite insidiously so, is related to this, because, you know, these people, once they're out of the police force, their careers are finished, and whatever influence they have with being able to control men with guns to be able to achieve whatever ill intent that they have is gone. So, you know, we support the assertion of the rule of law. We support the assertion of the authority of the state, but we also want due process, and we want natural justice to be afforded for all of these people. Now, having said all of that, this issue should not be politicized, and Fretland will not politicize it, unlike the way they politicized the petitioner issue in 2006, and the way they politicized it by supporting Alfredo, and the criminal acts that followed from that. Let me guarantee you, Fretland will never do to them what they did to Fretland in 2006.
A group within the police threatening to behave like the petitioners. Now, you've made it clear that Fretland would not support their version of the petitioners, but is there a possibility that there is a politicisation of the police force in spite of Fretland?
Look, the police force has been a troublesome institution going right back. The history was that the various waves of recruitment, you know, the first number of police to be recruited were substantively people who had policing experience in Timor-Leste. And of course, you know, that meant people who were policemen during the Indonesian period, which meant the exclusion of a lot of people who were not the police, who were fighting for independence. Then, you know, the next wave of recruitment tried to adjust that. And of course, you got, you know, the total opposite. You know, the institution began quite down the wrong path to begin with. And the UN's responsible for that at the end of the day, because it was under their command and their time that they did that. But, you know, we're not shifting and blame to them. But, you know, the point is that the police is a fractured institution.
Yeah.
It's never had a sense of cohesion, and it really has never had the sort of investment that you needed to invest into them. Despite development partners talking a great deal about the need to develop, you know, an independent, a law-abiding and effective police force, the fact was that they actually didn't invest in it, and they weren't interested in coordinating an investment into it. They invested according to their specific purposes. Now, I say that if the police, the Timor-Leste police, is in such a parlous state, you know, then countries like Australia and the various AusAid funding programs that went into it also failed, along with everybody else. And of course, you know, the Timorese aren't absolved from responsibility from that. But let's share the blame, and let's try not to repeat those mistakes. Unfortunately, I think we're repeating those mistakes. I think the police program has not changed in terms of orientation, in terms of what it is trying to achieve. And I think it needs a major overhaul. I think the program of police capacity building in Timor-Leste, as elsewhere, that is funded by AusAid, needs a major revision. You know, we're aware daily. I mean, let's put it this way. There is a clash of culture, a clash of outlooks between national police and international police. And that includes the Australian police. It doesn't matter how much they try to sugarcoat it, how much they try to sweeten it. The fact is that it hasn't been done well, it hasn't been done properly, and we need to do it well and properly in the future.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks very much, Jose. And we look forward to hearing a report about the conference, about the International Socialist Conference that you're on your way to at the moment.
It'll be my pleasure. We have people from the Philippines, we have people from Malaysia, we have Indonesians, we have Timor-Leste, we have people from Korea. It's going to be very, very exciting. It'll be my first that I've been involved at that level, and I'm looking forward to it very much. I've been asked to moderate a session on the future of social democracy in the region, and I'm looking forward to it very much, as you can appreciate.
Yeah. Okay, thanks very much, Joseph.
My pleasure.